Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
I feel like that little children's book this morning, See Pastor Rick Run, you know. I mean, it's just been that kind of morning for me, you know, being up here at 8 o'clock, leading the class, preaching in the 9 o'clock service, baptizing a few people. Then here I am again this morning, you know, standing up here in front of you. But it really kind of goes along with what I want to talk about today, because we do get kind of stuck in a routine. You know, routines can be good and routines can be bad. You know, routines are good. I think successful people usually get up at the same time. They kind of have the same disciplines for the day, and they just live their life that way. And then you just kind of beg for the opportunity for something to be different, you know. You live for the moment when God interrupts your routine. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, if you would like to turn and follow with me in this story that we're just kind of breaking up over the last 4 weeks, 3 weeks, and then, of course, next week as well. And you will not want to miss our Christmas Eve service. We have two of those, one at 2 o'clock and one at 4 o'clock. And I know that there are a lot of churches in Forney that are going to have multiple Christmas Eve services. I get that. You're going to have a lot of options. But I do hope and pray that you will consider joining us at one of those two services. We always look forward to it. And if you're in town, you have family in town, we sure hope that you will be part of that. And we'll kind of bring all of what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, we'll bring all of that kind of to closure at that Christmas Eve service in just a few days. But you'll remember, if you were here 2 weeks ago, I started this series by talking about how God interrupted the life of Mary. I mean, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her what was about to happen, her whole life was turned over. Everything changed. Whatever plans she had, now it was all God's plan. And then last week, Jared talked to us about how Joseph's life, his reputation, was interrupted by the news that the young woman that he was about to marry was pregnant. And he knew that it was his child. And of course, the scripture tells us that Joseph was a just man. He must have had a good reputation in the small town of Nazareth. And now all that's changed, at least for a period of time, until God made things clear to everyone. But his reputation. So today, we're going to talk about the shepherds, who were also, as you know, very much a part of this story, and how their routine of what it was like to be a shepherd in the first century was all kind of interrupted on this particular night. Let's read about it, starting in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. We read that in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then listen to this. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.' When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." Most of you probably already know this, but shepherds back in the first century weren't what we might call the elite of society. Most times they were ex-convicts or people like that, people that the world would have outcast. There were really two kinds of shepherds. There were those who actually owned the sheep that they oversee, and then there were those who were simply hired to oversee someone else's flock. But either way, it was this group of people that the angel announces the birth of Jesus and then asks them to go out and to share the good news that Jesus had been born. And what an amazing, amazing thunder that must have been when the heavenly hosts began to join in unison, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men. I guess if there's any group of people that had a routine back in the first century, it would have been shepherds. I mean, their routine was pretty much the same thing every day, day after day. You know, they would get their sheep, they would take them out to pasture, and then they would bring them back and they would put them in what was usually a common pen or a common place where sheep would be held for the night. And then some would be tasked with the responsibility of overseeing them and watching over them and protecting them from any harm that might come to them in the night. And so it was in that space when the angel of the Lord appears to them, and suddenly everything changes and their whole routine was upside down. Anybody who knows me knows that my favorite movie of all time, I mean of all the movies that you can talk about, my favorite is Groundhog Day. And it's a favorite because I feel like sometimes I'm living Groundhog Day. You know what I mean? The same thing. I get up at the same time. I do the same thing. I mean, it just seems like it's just the same thing day after day. If you've ever seen that movie, you know that after having really reproduced that day, I don't know how many times, finally at the end of the movie, the young lady says to him, something is different, and he says, anything different is good. Anything different is good. And I feel like that sometimes. I feel like that my life is so routine that anything different is good. But then, let's be honest, there are some things that happen that interrupt your routine that are not good. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And I think what you see here in this amazing story involving the shepherds is that things were different on this particular night. Obviously, this was a different day. It's not every day that you have an angel appear before you. It certainly was a different news that the Messiah had come, the baby was born. Go into Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has done. It certainly was a different sound as they heard the heavenly hosts giving praise to God. Folks, what an amazing day that is going to be when we hear that amazing sound. In fact, when we join in together, when we sing with the heavenly host, worthy is the Lamb, I mean, that's going to be an amazing and wonderful day. On Friday, we lost a precious member here at our church, Miss Maddie Conway. Miss Maddie went to be with the Lord on Friday morning, and I can tell you that she is going to be missed. She is going to miss tremendously here at our church. I know I'm going to miss her. I came here in December of 1977, and Miss Maddie and Brother Howard Conway came here in August of 1978. And I can tell you that in all of these years, I mean, they've served in just about every capacity that you could imagine. And while we're not Catholic, I'm going to go ahead now and proclaim that Miss Maddie is a saint. That woman is probably the most godly woman or person that I've ever met in my life. And I'm saying all that to say that what an amazing sound it must have been for her when she took that last breath on this earth and she began to hear the heavenly choir singing glory to God in the highest. What an amazing and wonderful experience that will be when we have that great opportunity as well. As much as I complain about my routine, I don't know what I would do without it. I honestly do not know what I would do if I didn't have a calendar and it didn't tell me where I was supposed to be and when I was supposed to be there. So I live by that. But I'm also well aware of the fact that many times God interrupts that schedule. He interrupts that routine, and he does amazing things if we just will allow him to. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I have some things I want to share with you at the end. But before I did that, I thought it would be interesting to just look at other characters in the Bible who kind of had the same experience. And I think it's something that we could all relate to. So here's just a list of people in Scripture who kind of had their routine interrupted by God. The first person that I can think about is the Old Testament character of Joseph. And you'll remember that Joseph had this vision when he was very young that he was going to be somebody in the future. And that, in fact, his family, his brothers, of which he had many, would one day bow to him and one day acknowledge his greatness. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a dream like that, but the problem is sharing the dream like that, especially with the people who are involved. And so when Joseph shared that dream with his brothers, you know what they did? They sold him to a band of Egyptians as a slave. And so when you read the life of Joseph, I mean, it's an interesting story how that Joseph goes from here to there so many times throughout his life. I mean, sold to a band of Egyptians. Joseph became very a man of nobility, if you will, a man who was recognized by Potiphar. He's given some responsibility within the house of Potiphar. And then the next thing you know, he's in prison. And just when he's about to get used to what life was like in prison, he's now out of prison. He's in the house of Pharaoh, and he's put in charge of all the grain. And he was put there because his family was experiencing a famine, and they came to Egypt to get some grain, and guess who's in charge of it? If you know the story, you know that when Joseph's brothers figured out that Joseph knew who they were and what they had done to him, you know they thought that Joseph was going to get even with them, that Joseph would surely take revenge on them. But remember this, Joseph said no, because what you intended for harm, God has used. What you intended to destroy me was something that God has used for good. Joseph understood that he didn't get there by accident, but all of those interruptions were just part of God's plan to get him where he needed to be at the exact time that he needed to be there. God is just amazing like that. You know it? We can fast forward to the person of Moses, and I think if there ever was a life that you could say was preordained, it would be the life of Moses. And I say that because Pharaoh went to all these extremes to try to eliminate a deliverer that had been promised, and yet God spared the life of Moses and then put him through a period in his life where he was in the house of Pharaoh for 40 years, in the backside of the desert for 40 years, all as a way for God to prepare him for what he had prepared for him. You know, what you're going to realize in time is that there are some things you can learn in the house of Pharaoh, and there are other things you can learn in the backside of the desert. And God uses all of those things. He mixes and mingles all of those things to help us to become the person that he wants us to become so that he can use us in the way that he wants to use us. I mean, he's just an amazing God when you think about it. Then, of course, I think about David, you know, King David. I mean, here was a guy who was anointed king. And with David, I mean, God changed everything because he takes the kingdom away from Saul and he gives it to David, to whom would be, if you will, the ancestor of the Messiah. I mean, everything changed when God chose David. And what an amazing story that was. You know, God anointed him through the prophet Samuel. And then all of a sudden, David finds himself on the run from Saul because Saul wants to kill him. In fact, some of the Psalms, most of the Psalms, in fact, that we read were Psalms that David wrote while he was on the run. And I always tell people, man, if you want to really realize and understand and appreciate the emotions that you go through, the ups and downs that you sometimes experience in your Christian life, just read the Psalms. Because David experienced all of those same emotions. He knew what it was like to dance and play his harp. And he knew what it was like to be in a cave wondering why he was ever born. I mean, all those same emotions, all those same experiences. And David, God used tremendously because he was interruptible. I think about Jonah, you know. I told the people at 9 o'clock, you know, those first three names up there, I mean, most of us would say, yeah, I can see how God used Joseph, and I can see how God used Moses, and I can see how God used David. But think about Jonah. Here was a guy who was bound and determined to do the exact opposite of what he had been told by God to do. Because God said, go to Nineveh and warn them and preach to them. But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach to them. And here's why. Jonah knew that God is a gracious God and that if the Ninevites repented, God might spare Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want God to spare Nineveh. Jonah wanted God to destroy Nineveh. He knew that God is such a merciful and kind God that if they repented, that God would spare them. And so Jonah determined to go against God's will, got in a boat and went the exact opposite of Nineveh. And the Bible says that God prepared a fish. You might say that God interrupted his routine, right? You know, people have talked about that fish. What kind of fish was it? I don't know. All I know is it was a prepared fish. Amen? God prepared a fish that swallowed up Jonah and got him to the exact place Jonah needed to be there at the exact time Jonah needed to be there. Then we can talk about, of course, the apostles. I mean, here's fishermen. I mean, if anybody ever had a routine, it would be the fishermen. You know, pretty much the same thing day in and day out, every day, the same old thing. And yet Jesus comes along, and he calls them to stop fishing for fish and join him in fishing for men. And what an amazing transformation he made in their life. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul. I don't think anyone's life was more radically changed than the Apostle Paul. In our 8 o'clock ABF class, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we've been kind of just looking at Paul's latter life over these last few weeks, how God used it. Because the book of Acts really is just a summary account of Paul's three missionary journeys. But you're talking about somebody, he was preparing to be a rabbi. I mean, and yet God radically changed him, not just from Saul to Paul, but he made him a church planter, and he wrote 12 letters we have in the New Testament. I mean, what an amazing thing happened when Paul's routine was interrupted. And so we could go on and on this morning. I know that there are other examples, and you might even could think of some that I haven't thought of here this morning, but here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do with the last few minutes that I have. I want to answer this question. What does all of this teach us? What does all of this teach us? You may be asking that question right now. So I've come today prepared to try to answer that from this story. And here's the first thing. Here's the first thing I think the story of Christmas teaches us that we need to understand today, and that is this, that with God, we should expect the unexpected. With God, we should expect the unexpected. If you've been a Christian for any time at all, and a lot of you have been following the Lord for a long time, you've been believers for a long time, you've been following Christ for a long time, some of you are new to the faith, I understand that. But I'm going to tell you that when you follow the Lord for any time at all, you will come to expect the unexpected. You don't know when, and you may not know how, but you know that at some point, God is going to interrupt the plans that you have. Somebody once said, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. Just tell him what you're planning to do. Because the fact of the matter is, he is going to interrupt those plans. And with God, you come to expect the unexpected. You might not know what that is, but you just know when it happens that that's God. That God is interrupting this in your life for a bigger purpose or for a plan that he has for it. I really, of all the books in the Bible, I think I have grown to love and appreciate the book of James more than any other book in the New Testament. And I say that not because it's of great theological value. You know, if I want to study theology, I'll read Ephesians or I'll read Romans. But man, if you want to know the practical aspects of what it means to be a Christian, just read the book of James. I mean, he is so practical. He talks about topics that no one else would dare talk about in the New Testament. And one of the things James says about your plans is, he says, when you make your plans, be careful. Your plan is to go into the city, to buy and to sell, and to make a profit. He said, that's a good plan. But what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, I'm going to go into the city, I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to make a profit. Because the fact of the matter is, you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. I don't even know what's going to happen today. I've got a plan. I have a plan this afternoon. I do. Taking my mother-in-law. I ought to get a star in my crown for that. Taking my mother-in-law to see a play at First Baptist Church in Rockwell. That's the plan. But I don't know if I'm going to get to fulfill that plan. I have no idea because I'm not in charge of my schedule. God is in control of my schedule. And so with God, we should expect the unexpected. Something is going to happen. I'm expecting it. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I can be sure that at some point in time, the unexpected is going to happen. All right? Here's the second thing. The second thing I would tell you this morning is that not every interruption will be as clear as others. There are going to be times in your life when God interrupts your plans, and you're going to know without any doubt, this is why that happened. I know that as sure as I'm standing here, that this happened because this is something that God wants me to do, or this is somewhere God wants me to be. I mean, I'm just as clear as anything else that this is the reason that happened. But watch this. There are going to be times you're not going to have an idea of why you're where you are and why God chose to interrupt your plan the way he did. And the only thing you can do in the midst of that is just trust God and believe that God has a purpose and a plan. You may never know this side of heaven why or when that happened, but you just know that God is in control. Amen? That's all you know. You know that God is in control. I love the story back in Genesis of Abraham when God called him. His name was Abram. He lived in a place called Ur. And God comes to Abram and he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you a land and I want you to go with me. Well, where are we going, God? And God says, I'll let you know when we get there. I'll let you know when we get there. Sometimes I feel like that's the way God is leading me, you know. One commentator said that God basically said to Abraham, close your eyes and take my hand, you know, and I'm going to take you where you're supposed to go, and I'm going to do with you what you're supposed to do. Sometimes we know exactly why God is doing what he's doing, but there are other times we're not so clear. We're not so sure exactly why God is doing or interrupting our plans, but if you will allow him to interrupt your routine, there's amazing things that he can do with it. Third thing I want to say, and I got to explain this one because it may on the surface not seem as obvious to you as it does to me from this story, but the third thing I would point out to you this morning is that ability is not as important as availability. With God, it's not your talents, it's not your ability that matters. It's your availability. And the reason I say that is because these were shepherds. You would expect that if God was going to announce the birth of Jesus, that he would have used prophets. And don't get me wrong, he did use prophets. Over 30-something prophecies in the Old Testament where God is telling us about the Messiah and where he's going to be born and all of those details. But when it came time to announce his birth, he didn't use prophets, he used shepherds. You would expect that God would use a rabbi or a priest or somebody who's qualified, you know, to go out and proclaim. But no, God chose to use shepherds. And I find that fascinating because God uses us in spite of our abilities. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that God gifts every one of us with certain talents and with certain gifts that allow us to be effective in his kingdom. And we at the church, we depend on that. We require that. We need that. We need you using whatever that gift may be, mercy or helps or teaching or administration. I mean, we need all of those gifts. But more important than you using the one gift God has given you is you being available for God to use you however else he may want to use you, however else he may choose to use you. And what you'll discover that God will never ask you to do something that he won't give you the power to do it. He'll always give you the ability to do whatever he asks you to do. And I think for that reason, availability is so much more important than ability. Some of you can sit out there today and just say, Pastor, I mean, I don't know what I can do in the church. I mean, I really don't have any skills or talents. You know, I don't teach, and so I don't really know what I can do. Just allow God to use you. Be open to how God might want to use you. All that's required is availability and not so much your ability, okay? And that kind of brings me to the closing thing that I want to show you this morning. And I think I get this perhaps out of this story better than anyone else. And that's this truth, that don't miss the blessing of what God can do through you if you will allow him to interrupt your routine. Think about that. Take a picture of that. Don't miss the blessing of what God can do through you if you allow him to interrupt your routine. If you'll just allow God to put you where you need to be at the most inconvenient time, you might be amazed at what God can do through you if you'll just be available. 3 years ago, kind of like we've started doing over the past recent years anyway, Ann and I were going to spend our anniversary in a place we have grown to love and really appreciate, the Turks and Caicos. We go over there and suffer for Jesus for 5 days. And it's always just a few days before Thanksgiving because our anniversary is on the 19th of November. And so we're usually there just a little bit before. And I think I just watched a Hallmark movie or something about people helping someone. And so I just told Ann, I really think that God wants us this year. We've been so blessed. Our lives have been so enriched. And I just think God wants us to help somebody this year. I think we need to be open to that. And so we talked about it, and look, we had a lot of time to talk about it because our flight was delayed 3 hours. So when we finally get there through customs and up to the car rental counter, the man says, well, we gave away your car and we don't have another one. Now, being the spiritual, holy, patient pastor that I am, that most of you have come to know and appreciate, that just kind of lets it run off the back of his neck, you know, and just like a willow kind of bends with the wind. I got mad. I got so mad at that. What am I supposed to do? I said, what are we supposed to do now? He said, well, we have some taxis and we have car services and you're welcome to use any of those and we'll bring you a car tomorrow. You're going to bring me a car tomorrow. You're going to bring me a car. Yes, sir, we're going to bring you a car. Okay, so we get out there. You know what happened. No car came. So I start looking up, figuring out what we're going to do now, and I found a guy, and I called him, and I asked him, you know, if he would take us to dinner, and he said, you know what, it's a slow week. It's really slow over here right now. I'll just take y'all wherever you want to go. I will pick you up. I'll just be your personal transportation for the week. And we agreed on a price. Honestly, it wasn't a whole lot more than what it would have been if we had rented a car. So sounded good. Until he showed up in a church van. I'm telling you the truth. It was a church. I've driven that church van, you know. I mean, it was probably a 80 model or something like that. You know, had gasoline odor. And when I stepped in, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not just preaching. I'm telling you the truth. When I stepped in, the plastic was so brittle, my foot went through the step and cut my leg. So here we are in a church van, smells like gas, got blood running down my feet, and we start hearing Rudy's story. He shared with us his whole life. We got to know him over the course of those 3 days, and he told us that his car was in the shop. He didn't have the money to get it out. It was repaired, but he couldn't get it out, and Ann gave me the look. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. She gave me that look. That's it. That's the guy. That's what it's all about. All that stuff you threw a fit over, all that anger you showed back at the airport, embarrassing yourself, That's the reason for it. So we agreed, and we called Rudy and said, could you pick us up about an hour before we'd scheduled for you to take us back to the airport? And he agreed. And so, Rudy, how much is it going to cost to get your car? And we said, if you'll just take us by there, we'll get it out for you. I'm not telling you that for any reason other than to say what I said earlier. Don't miss the blessing of what God can do through you if you will allow him to interrupt your routine. I believe, men and women, that we are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And we want to be that channel. We want to be that opportunity. We want to be that person for whoever God brings into our path. So with God, expect the unexpected. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know at some point God's going to interrupt your plans. How will you respond to that? Not every time will you be able to say with total confidence, this is why God did that. There'll be times you won't know, you won't have an idea why God allowed that, but you just trust him. Your ability to do something is not near as important as your availability to God. And my last challenge, don't miss the blessing of being help to someone if God chooses to interrupt your routine. Amen? That's what Christmas to me is all about. That's what the story of Christmas teaches us. It is that God wants to come into our space. He wants to interrupt our plans. Somebody said, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. So sometimes his schedule, our schedule, they're not the same. Sometimes his time, our time, it's not the same. But if we'll just trust him, man, we might be a blessing to someone for that. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, there's so many things I think that we could read in Scripture to remind us that you are in control. I mean, this story, better than anything, is a reminder, God, that you can work through the mess. You have a way of being able to accomplish things when we mess things up. We're never really any further out of your will, God, than just you being able to interrupt our plans, and you can. And so when you do, I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to be angry or God, resent, but recognize that this is an opportunity. I mean, where we are today is no accident. And what you can do with us today is amazing if we're just willing to allow you to interrupt our routine. So God, thank you for that. There are people in this room today that are going to leave here. They've got plans. Maybe they're already thinking about what the next few days are going to look like, what the holidays are going to be. And God, I just pray that if any of that should change, any of that should be different, that we just look for opportunities for you to use us. We're blessed in so many ways, God. And we're grateful because we know where those blessings come. And we thank you today. Use us, I pray. Use us to your glory and honor, and we'll celebrate it one day in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message, and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.